Welcome back as the IFC presents another episode of The Four Archetypes. My name is James Mollins. We've got another exciting episode for you. Today, we welcome back Dr. Lahab El-Samri, Dr. Lisa Hong, and Dr. Eric Tomlinson as we jump right back into our story going over the book, The Arabian Nights, The Merchant and His Wife. If you enjoyed the IFC's Individuation Podcast and want to support, make sure to rate the podcast 5 stars on iTunes and wherever you get your podcast. So without any further ado, Dr. El-Samri, take it away.
Welcome back to another episode of The Four Archetypes. I'm Dr. Lahab El-Samri. With me today, as always, my comrades in arms are here. Dr. Lisa Hong is here. Dr. Eric Tomlinson is with us. Ladies and gents, anything you want to say?
Happy spring. Thanks life for coming back.
And life is fluid.
Okay. Okay, Dr. Eric, this is a little too deep this early in the show. Okay, life is fluid. Happy spring, everybody. All right. So today we thought we continue with our odyssey in the story of 1001 Nights. And so our last story was about the donkey and the ox. And the moral of this story is don't be the donkey. Just kidding. Okay. No, it's much deeper than that. No, but that's a huge part of it. Okay. So today we continue with the story. So Shahrazad is being counseled by her father, who's telling her this is a really terrible idea that she marries the deranged king, deranged sultan in this case, that he's going to end up killing her. So he tells her the story of the donkey and the ox. And then he continues to talk to her. So this is the tale of the merchant and his wife. And we'd like to start with Dr. Lisa.
Here we go.
Would you like to read for us? Let's acknowledge our the people that we are using. So this is the Arabian Nights, the annotated Arabian Nights, Tales from 1001 Nights, edited by Pablo Lomas Horsho, translated by Yasmin Seal, forward by Omar Al-Ekad, and afterward by Robert Irwin. So we appreciate them very much. Okay, the tale of the merchant and his wife, Dr. Lisa.
Here we are. The tale of the merchant and his wife. The vizier is telling this story to his daughter. Here we are. The merchant and his wife went out in moonlight to the stable and heard the donkey say in his own language to the ox, "What will you do tomorrow when the plowman brings you food?" "What should I do but follow your advice? I will pretend to be sick, lie on my back, and fill my belly with air." "Don't do it," said the donkey. "Do you know what I heard our master say to the merchant?" "What?" "He said if the ox failed to get up, he would have him slaughtered and use the meat for alms, the skin for a mat. I have to warn you, when they bring you food, eat it and look alert or they will skin you." The ox let out a whimper and a fart, and the merchant gave a great laugh at this turn in their talk. "Why do you laugh?" said his wife. "Are you making fun of me?" "No," he said. "Tell me what made you laugh." "It is a secret I am scared to reveal." "What are you scared of?" "Death." "You lie. If you do not tell me why you laugh, I will leave you." Then she went back to the house and wept there until morning. The merchant said, "Why do you weep? Forget your question and leave me in peace." "But I must know." "But I will die." "Then die," she said. "Then tell your family to come." She brought her parents, her two daughters, and some neighbors. The merchant said he was about to die, and everyone began to weep. Little children, farm boys, slaves, and mourn as if he were already gone. The merchant called for witnesses and made his wishes known. He left his wife and children their due share and freed his slaves and bid them all goodbye. Then the wife's parents came forward and said, "Drop it. If your husband were not certain he would die, he would not do all this." "I will not change my mind," she said, and everybody cried and mourned his death. Now it happened, Shahzerad, that this farm had a rooster and 50 hens. And as the merchant faced the prospect of his death, he overheard the dog say something in his language to the rooster, who was busy leaping from one hen to the next. "Are you not ashamed to do that on a day like this?" "A day like what?" "Do you not know our master's house is grieving? His wife insists that he reveal his secret, knowing he will die. We were all in mourning while you flap your wings and skip from one hen to the other without shame." The merchant heard the rooster say, "Our master is a fool, though he claims to be wise. He has only one wife, but cannot manage her. What should he do with her?" "He should take an oak branch, lock her in a room, and beat her there until he breaks her arms and legs, and she cries out that no longer wants to, and so no longer wants to know. Beat her until she is cured and never again will stand in his way." When the merchant heard this, Shahzerad, he rushed to fetch a branch and pushed his wife into a room and locked the door. He fell on her with blows until she said, "No, no, I'll never ask again. Let me go, let me go." Then he opened the door and his wife emerged repentant, and everyone was glad, and the mourning turned to joy.
"And if you do not change your mind," said the vizier, "I shall do to you what the merchant did to his wife." "These stories," said Shahrazad, "do not impress me. I could tell you many more. If you do not take me to the king yourself, I will go behind your back and tell him you refuse to marry me to him." "Must you really do this?" asked her father. And she said, "I must." The vizier, exhausted, went to see the king and kissed the ground before him and offered him his daughter. The king was amazed. "How is it," he said, "that you give me your daughter, knowing that I will ask you to kill her by morning, and that if you refuse, I will kill you too?" "She knows all this," said the vizier, "and she insists." "Go," said the happy king, "prepare her things and bring her here this evening."
The vizier brought the news to his daughter and said, "God help me in your absence." Shahrazad, satisfied, prepared herself and packed what she would need and then went to find her younger sister, Dunyazad. "Sister," she said, "listen. When I am with the king, I will send for you. Come, and when you see that he has finished with me, say, 'Sister, if you are not sleepy, tell me a story. I will begin a story that will end on my deliverance and my people's and the king changing his ways.'" And Dunyazad said, "Yes."
When night came, the vizier brought Shahrazad to Shahryar. But when the king took her to bed and pawed at her, she wept. When he asked her why, she said, "I have a little sister, and I want to say goodbye to her before the night is done." The king sent for Dunyazad, who came and went to sleep under the bed. She woke when it was dark and waited for the king to finish with her sister. When they were done, Dunyazad cleared her throat and said, "Sister, if you are not sleepy, tell us one of your lovely stories to while away the night before I say goodbye at dawn. Who knows what tomorrow holds for you?" Shahrazad turned to the king and said, "May I tell a story?" "Yes," he said. And she said, "Listen."
Ooh, what a great beginning. Don't Man. You think? Huh?
What a violent world they live
in. Yeah, well, you know, in a lot of ways, we still exist in that world.
Oh, I know.
It's just been, we have better tailored clothes and we have better news coverage. But
yeah.
In a lot of ways, this is the, you know, it's unfortunate. But what a great story. She's so wily. She's she's already seen, you know, the magician archetype. She's already played 10 steps ahead in her mind, even as her father is like demonishing her and telling her, you know, I'm gonna, I should treat you this way. I should beat it out of you, basically. This idea that you could, that you don't commit suicide because he's gonna kill you. But she is confident. She knows the path. She knows where she's going, and she knows what's in front of her. Right? So it's like David taking on Goliath. You know, in a lot of ways, it's Hercules in the temple when he destroys the temple. These are all, you know, this is the heroine's story. And the heroine's story, she, death is the challenge. That's a challenge for her. That's the warrior in her. It's a challenge. It's like, well, you know, we all die. What do you guys think?
Well, she is certainly everything you said. She's extremely clever. And she has a tremendous amount of courage and just self-resilience to be able to stay cool.
Yeah.
Cool-headed throughout all of this. It's enough to make any human being, with someone with that kind of power over you and you're under them.
Yeah.
It's like a horrible place. It's a nightmare to be there. It really is.
And it's not just metaphorically. It's literally under them.
Yes.
Yeah. And that when they're finished with you, they don't throw you away. They destroy you.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think, Dr. Lisa? What do you think of our heroine and her predicament?
She's, like you said, she's very clever and resourceful.
Mm.
She's using her father and her sister
as
props in her big position and creating it, whatever it'll reveal itself as we continue reading. But they are part of a tool for her to achieve her goal. So we'll see how that works.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a good point, because what Dr. Lisa just said, the term that hit me was resourceful. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, how many times we have the resources around us to help us through a really potentially damaging time, and we just get paralyzed in the fear of all of it and don't use the resources around us to navigate our way through it.
Ooh.
And she just has the self-possession to be able to do that, and the resilience to be able to use what is around her and available to her, which may not look like it can help you, but if you use it correctly, it can. Those resources can help you. It's just, that's a really good point, Lisa.
Yeah, it's the archetypal magician. Use the environment to create what you want, to create the outcome you want. Use the environment as your resources. Yeah. Yeah, it's the way the archetypal magician works is to see everything and to have a purpose for everything. Nothing is sitting on the shelf by accident. The vase is not sitting on the corner for no purpose. There's a purpose for the vase. There's a purpose for the plate of grapes. There's a purpose for her sister under the bed. There's a purpose for asking his permission. Right? It's like, yeah, you're dead, so ask what you want. Sure, you want to tell me a story? Go ahead. Tell me a story. Right? And she has him exact. Yeah, go ahead, Dr.
Yeah, telling the story was initiated by the sister.
Yeah. Yeah. But she asked permission. She says, yeah, it's already been planted. It's already there. It's already there. He's already intrigued because the sister is asking for a story. So he's like, yeah, you know, it's like a last wish. This is my last wish. Can I tell a story? Yeah. This is the Last Supper. I'm condemned. Let me tell you a story. And so she twists him up in that. He's already hooked. She already has him in the net. And now the question is how she's going to change this tyrant, this serial killer, this monster.
I think another important thing she did in these kinds of situations, whether it be husband and wife, boss, employee, whatever, and she does the very smart thing. She gives, before she does all that, she gives him something that he wants. So it makes,
well, she doesn't have a choice. She doesn't have a choice in like giving in to that.
Well, no, she had a choice in how it was presented. She had a choice in her attitude. She had a choice in how she made him feel about him getting what he wanted. She had a lot of choices about that. And she used them to her advantage.
Well, yeah. Dr. Lisa, did you have a thought?
No, I like where you guys are going. Yeah.
I was just thinking of that. Her choices were limited within the choices that she had. She created opportunities.
Yes.
That's how I saw it. I saw her ability. Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying it a different way. I saw her, the archetype of the magician seeing the little specks of light in the darkness and using the light to plot out an escape.
Yeah, I just think my main point to it was just that it's important, in my opinion, it's important to whatever the person is taking from you, whatever that is that you don't have a choice about, you can set those conditions up to where it helps them to lower their shields, to lower their walls of dominance, and to lower their walls of defensiveness. I mean, you know, it opens them up to a greater chance of you coming back at them with your plan. It makes that plan a little bit more possible to be successful.
Yeah, I think you know, to see her from the position of she knew exactly what she was getting into. She was aware of what she had to do, and she was aware of the outcome. So when she entered that relationship, entered that contract, she knew what was written on the contract, but she believed, and she knew, she had already foreseen that she can create a completely different contract.
she allowed him to think that he was in dominant control over everything that was going to happen.
Well, that's part of the plan.
And of course, he has that authority already. But when you don't, there's a time to fight it and there's a time not to fight it. And she shows that very skillfully.
Well, she had a plan. I mean,
yeah.
her plan was to put him under her spell. This is the archetypal magician. I'm going to put you under my spell. I'm going to tell you how things work in the world, and you're going to change your mind about the way you see the world and how the world works for you. Right? So we always tell stories. The lover tells stories of love and connection. Right? The king, queen tells stories of empires, of history. The warriors tell stories of great battles, of great victories. The magician tells stories to create a different reality. Or, like a therapist, like a counselor, like a psychiatrist, to help the person create a different reality, because the reality they're stuck in is not a reality that's livable. And so what we have here is somebody who could be seen as a psychopath who is psychopathy comes from trauma. Right? The betrayal. The early betrayal, that trauma. And then there was a split in psyche. The shadow came out and the shadow started operating as if the world needed to be taught a lesson. But in this case, the female gender needed to be taught a lesson. Because of trauma. But she walks in, she doesn't she doesn't twitch. She's brave.
Very difficult to not feel like a victim in her circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah. But she's very brave. She walks in, she knows the sacrifices she's going to have to make. But she already told her father at the beginning. She said, I must save my people. Right?
What I find interesting is when this was written, the time period that this was written, how and to what degree, if so, to what degree did the impact of seeing the power, bravery, strength, cleverness, et cetera, of this woman, how did that affect the male readers of these stories?
Ooh.
I think that's an interesting question.
Well, I think, yeah, I think her story is the story that things must change. Right.
There are some cultures in that time period. There are some cultures that would have not allowed this to be printed.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Well, yeah, she's a liberator, right? She's a revolutionary.
She is.
Yeah. That's what storytellers are. They're liberators. They're revolutionaries. They tell us a different world. They tell us about a different world. They said, imagine the world you live in and imagine a different world that you could live in. It's in the same world, right? This is what the magician does. He says, okay, stare at the object, look at it. Okay, what do you see? It's just a vase. Just keep looking at it, make sure. Well, you know, it holds flowers. Just keep looking at it for a second. Well, it holds water. Just keep looking at it. Well, it's made out of clay. But just keep looking at it for a second. And suddenly, your consciousness expands to the possibilities of what it is that I am staring at. What do I think I am staring at? Right? There's profound implications in the story. There's implications of death, torture, rape, trauma, mental illness, psychopathology. And then within it all, you have this revolutionary who wants to change the world with her stories. Any thoughts, Dr. Lisa, Dr. Eric, any thoughts before we call it a day? So, we leave you again. Until next time, we will pick up with our heroine, our revolutionary, our Shahrazad, who's going to lead us out of the darkness. And we're going to watch her as she works her magic. Okay. As we always say goodbye. We are the Institute for Conflict, and we are not afraid.
I am not afraid.
So say we all.
So say we all. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the IFC's The Four Archetypes. We hope you enjoyed hearing from Dr. Eric Tomlinson, Dr. Lisa Hong, and Dr. El Samurai. You can also find us on the IFC's YouTube. Make sure to check out the JAMP Institute for Training's Magician's Call podcast as well. Tuning in next time to the IFC's The Four Archetypes for another episode soon. The IFC is a non-for-profit institution. We do not have any paid advertising for our podcast. We do accept donations. All donations and contributions are tax-deductible. You can find more info at instituteforconflict.com.